Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Father, for a wonderful night tonight. I just feel something in the air. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, just pray.
Thank you, Father, for being with us tonight, guiding us tonight. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome night. We're going to be a happy family tonight. We praise you, Father, for all the prayer requests that are answered, because we know we've got an open heaven. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for all the healings and deliverances through this past year, Lord, through this group of great believers. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. Lead us and guide us into the things that you'd have us to talk about. Thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given us over all the enemy, all the power of the enemy. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I'll take that authority in the name of Jesus, and I command any kind of tormenting demons to try to stop anybody from getting access to the net in Jesus' name. Now, I bind you and cast you out of this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for sending your techie angels out there to get everybody connected and to stay connected in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for a great and wonderful night being led by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Let's see here. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Jerry. Anybody got a prayer request? I tell you what, I want to pray for David Nelson. He's having to start some 12-hour days during the holidays, be working every day, 7 days a week for a while. Lord, we just lift up David to you. We thank you, Father, for infusing him with your spirit to a degree that he's never felt before, that these next few weeks will just pass supernaturally for him, that he would wake up with lots of energy and go to bed with lots of energy. And Father, we thank you that when he puts his head on the pillow, that he'll sleep and be rested up in the morning. And Lord, we thank you for your spirit that's going to fill him with joy and peace during this whole trial, Father. We know it's a busy time for the postal people, and we just ask, Father, that you surround him with your protection and wisdom, and Lord, infuse him with the light of the gospel. They'll see David and say, man, you got a light around you. What is that? Then he'll be able to unload about Jesus. And Father, we thank you for doing that for Dave in Jesus' name, because we know it's going to be done. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. He probably won't be with us for a while, but he is in spirit. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Greg.
I promised, I did promise this, but I mentioned my friend Michael the other day. And I was with him it was yesterday, I think, but maybe it was the day before now, but because there's something he wanted me to do. But my friend Michael he's probably in surgery right now. And I didn't realize how drastic they were going to do, but he has on his face, he has this like open sore, like the size of bigger than a quarter, let me put it that way, which has been there for, oh goodness me, over a year, with some sort of thing they cut off of skin cancer. And today they're actually taking off his ear on the side of his face. He's been in pain. You wouldn't know it if you spoke to him. He just doesn't show it at all. For quite some time, and it's got worse. And look, this is something that him and his wife have prayed over. They've done all sorts of things as far as their health goes, etc. And it just has got more and more bad. Anyway, I promised we'd prayed over him. He said he's excited, or not, you know, he's anticipating what God is going to do in the situation. It's kind of one of those things, like, you know, with Lana, when she had to go off to the hospital, or Ali as well. I don't understand. I'd, you know, much rather that this not even be happening. But anyway, if I could pray and just lift Michael up. My Father, it's almost an obligation for me to pray for Michael and his wife, Helen, because they have been very good friends and very kind and representatives of you to me in the situations that I have experienced. And they have been very faithful friends. Lord, I just want to, I don't even know what to pray. I'm thinking of Lord, of Malchus and that ear that in the days of your flesh that you just picked up and put back on. Lord, I just want to call up that scriptural precedent for Michael's face and this particular skin cancer thing that the surgeons are doing things with, that you would touch him, that there would be a testimony. But Lord, in all things, that you would be glorified and continue to be glorified. I'm going to just say amen to that.
Amen. Yeah, Pat.
I'd just like to add to that prayer with Greg. Father, I just come to you as well and join with Greg on behalf of Michael and his wife. Lord, I'd ask that you would open up a new and fresh opportunity of faith and wisdom and understanding, and allow him to see an additional area, maybe of his life, that you would like to set him free by your word. Pray that you would guide his thinking, guide his prayer, bring the scriptures into his heart that you want him to meditate on. I trust you, Lord, that you have answered Greg's prayer in this principle of Malchus in the ear. And I thank you, Lord, that you just give him a different view than what he is resting in now, that would accentuate his faith and stimulate new faith and a new excitement for your authority that you've given him over this disease. We bind this disease, this cancer. We curse it to die. And we send forth life, the word of life, into Michael's heart. And we ask you to open it up and explode his heart with faith that would overcome even as you overcame. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray this for Michael, Lord, knowing that Michael would pray it himself if he could see it and he could hear it and he could experience it. Lord, we stand with him in this time, and we thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You purchased him with your blood, and the devil has no place in him, and we thank you for that. We claim this victory for Michael, and we stand with him, and we trust you, Lord, to put our confidence in you. Lord, you've given him the Holy Spirit to guide him into all truth and to empower him to stand in that truth. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just infuse him with that life to do so. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we are saved by your unmerited divine influence in our heart. And we trust you to accomplish that in Michael even now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Judy, go ahead.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for Michael. Thank you, Lord, for his life. And we praise you, Lord, that he has been a blessing. He and his wife have both been a blessing to Greg. And your word promises us, Lord, by many examples, and it's written, Lord, those you will bless those who bless us, and you will curse those who curse us. So we pray blessings all over Michael and his family, his wife. We pray a hedge of protection all around about him while he is under the care of the medical establishment right now, Lord, and that no weapon ever will be formed against him to prosper in his body or around him. We bind and cast down every evil work of darkness, every plan and scheme of the enemy that would try to take anything from him unrightfully, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for giving him life and giving him abundant life. And we stand in faith for the total healing of Michael's body from this cancerous cells, in Jesus' name. And it's not going to be the wisdom of man or anything that they do, God. It's going to be a supernatural, Lord, because you are no respecter of persons, Lord, and you only want faith from us. And you know his heart, and you know where they're standing, and you know why they're doing what they're doing right now, Lord. But we trust in you, Lord, that you're going to do a great and mighty thing here. And we lift them up, God, and we pray your blessings all over him, Father, in the name of Jesus. And give peace to Greg, too, Lord, that he's not concerned or worried about any of it with his friend, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, you taught us that facts are what we see, facts are what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, and what we feel. But the truth is the truth, and the truth is the word, and the truth can change the facts. And Father, we thank you right now that cancer has dried up and that ear is grown back in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for placing bold faith in Michael to believe the gospel, to wake up every day and say, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Devil, you leave me now. And Father, I thank you that Michael is healed, delivered, and set free this moment. Devil, you're on notice. You got to go in Jesus' name. And I command fear off of him right now in the name of Jesus. I command the fear of cancer to go from him now in Jesus' name, and that he would get his eyes on you, Lord, and forget about the cancer and start praising you, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name, because I know it's so. I've seen it too many times. And I praise you, Father, for doing this for Michael. You've got a lot of folks here believing for him, Lord. And I thank you for your glory that's going to shine on him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Okay. It's done, Greg.
Yeah. So thank you, by the way. If I can just add to that, Michael's not fearful, and neither am I. Neither am I. However, bless her cotton socks, his wife tends to be gripped by it from time to time in amongst her faith. So I just want to just pray for Helen. Well, not so much Helen, but against that fear, Lord, we just stand in the gap for her and tell that fear, that tendency to panic or see the crisis or can be concerned about the worst, get out. We carry the stick of the word. It's actually a sword, and we're not afraid to use it. And we come against you on her behalf with fearlessness, as it's described in Philippians 1:28. Go. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, Nick, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, me and my mom and my sister are all feeling good, but my dad's still down with the sickness. But he's coming back. He's getting better every day. So his fever right now is at 99. So
no, it's 98.6. I stand to correct you. 98.6 is normal.
And that's yeah, his is at 99 right now.
No, it ain't. It's 98.6. You're going to argue with the truth or the facts, huh? All right. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that his dad is already healed by the stripes of Jesus, and we praise you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, he is. Frank is here. Symptoms are gone too, in Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Nick. All right, anybody else? Got a prayer request, or a praise report, or a testimony, or a song. Sing a song of sixpence, pocket full of rye. Oh, I'm funny, yeah. Go ahead, Isaac.
All righty. Well, I was just going to ask you guys for prayer for me. Here in the last few months or so, everything's got a weird taste. I don't know how to explain it. Like, everything has got a weird taste. It's just, nothing tastes the same as it used to. I don't understand. And, I got these thoughts down. I don't think about them. It really didn't help to do that. But I would like a prayer of agreement. That everything's coming back to normal, you know, and that's already normal. So if y'all would pray with me, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, you go, man. We'll believe with you.
All right, here we go. Lord, thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you, Father, that you brought us to this awesome, amazing truth, Father. It blows my mind every time I think about it. It really does. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Your word's true. I believe. I just think. I just know that you healed me. I just know it. And I thank you, Father, that's done. And by his stripes, you were healed. Lord, you did this at the foundation. Lord, it's just for a testimony to you and of your glory and your power. So awesome. Thank you, Father. You know the prayer of agreement. We know you're in the midst. We know that we can send 10,000 of light more. We thank you, Father, that you would choose us, chosen in elect. It's just such an amazing and humbling thing. Praise your name forever and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Isaac, and we thank you, Lord, that the smell, taste, and hearing, everything is back to normal in the name of Jesus. And whatever has been hindering this, we command you to go from him right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It is done. Amen and amen. I believe it. Brussels sprouts is good, Greg. I love that stuff. That's good, good, good. That's why I always get a big help when nobody else eats it. Amen. Anybody else got a testimony or a prayer request? My best dish is food, Isaac. Amen.
Michael, when we come back up there, I'm going to bring you some deer burger. So I might have to give it to you a day before, but I need you to make some of that Arkansas chili.
Okay, brother, you get on up here and I'll make it for you. I sure will. Amen. All right. anybody else. Y'all bring all your dear down here, and I'll make everybody say, warning. Yeah. Judah knows. No, it won't hurt you. Make that smelling good, boy. I'm telling you, it make you smelling and you're hearing and you're tasting all better. I'm telling you. All right, Nick, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I got a praise.
All right, let's hear it.
I get to go back to work on Tuesday.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, put him to work. Make him work twice as hard for staying off all that many weeks.
Yeah. I don't want to be off anymore.
I hear you. I hear you, brother. I hear you. Thank you, Lord. He's going to be just fine at work and do a great job for him. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, Nick, I'm so proud for you. Sonny, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah. All right, David or Lena, go ahead.
Hi guys, it's me. Sunday, I finally got delivered 100%. Was able to finally confess everything out and it's what a week it's been. I finished solving God today and it was awesome. And I've like my throat's been hurting and my head's been hurting. But today I realized something is I really didn't tell any of my coworkers or people around me that I was feeling sick because I don't want them being like, you need to go get tested and whatnot. And we stay away from that. And a thought hit me when I came home. For the longest time, I wanted God to kill my flesh. And God, like, usually when I'm sick, I really don't have any strength to work or do anything, but this time God supplied all the strength I need to work. And at the end of the day, a coworker looked at me, he said, you don't look so good. And inside I was like, I guess I'm not feeling that well, you know, but I still have the strength to work. And it hit me that your flesh isn't going to look good when it's dying. So I'm sitting there, I was like, you know, if I commanded it to leave, which I tried, and it didn't want to leave, and I was like, then I would have been fine and my flesh would have been fine. But I was like, no, I'll leave it. If God wants it to kill my flesh, let it be. Let it be. God's going to give me the strength to go on every day. And what I need, if my flesh is dying, let it die. I'm ready for it to die. And God's been gracious and listening to Sovereign God at work, and it's been a true blessing. And it's been an awesome walk with God this week, and it's been a big eye opener. And praise God on that one.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord forevermore. What you got, Missy?
Well, when David said about, you know, this, you know, God using this to kill his flesh, you know, I was like, amen. Because, you know, the Lord here recently showed me and has so encouraged me. And I want to share this with you all. I know many of you are going through trials of your faith. And I believe the Lord's shown me that going through that trial of your faith, you're not going through it because you're wavering for your flip-flopping. It's not the only reason why you're going through it. You know, it's because it strengthens you to fight the battle, to come against your flesh. It kills your flesh, no matter what you see, feel, or hear. You know, it teaches you to dogmatically be determined that you are only going to confess the word. That is it. Only the word you're going to confess. And walk by faith, no matter how you feel, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear. And, you know, that just so encouraged me. And, you know, the Lord, you know, it's like faith is the substance of things hoped for, or the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Okay, hope. David's taught us that hope is not a hope of, oh, I hope it happens. Hope is a matter of waiting. And Psalm 62 talks a lot about waiting on the Lord. He is our expectation. But it's the hope that it's talking about there is firm expectation. You're expecting. You believe by faith it is yours, but you're expecting and know that it's going to be manifested. And, you know, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And I just got to share these verses that the Lord gave me right before I got on. And I knew that I had to share it. And as I'm saying all this, it's like the Lord's really encouraging me, and he's like saying, that's what you're saying is why I gave you those verses, you know. And it's just, oh Lord, you're so awesome. And it's Hebrews 10:19-25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the way which he dedicated for us, a new and living way through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our assembling together as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more the more as you see the day drawing nigh. So, amen. Thank you, Lord. So that's just something that the Lord's really impressed upon me. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in all of us, and what you showed David there. And, you know, and Lord, you're so awesome. I just praise you and thank you for everything. He's put such joy in my heart. I started reading the Merlin Carruthers book, Bringing Heaven into Hell. I started reading it, and I had sat it down for a while, for quite a while, and never finished it. I didn't get very far in it, but it's just like the Lord has put such joy in my heart, and in faith and hope and thankfulness. And it's just... the Lord is so awesome. He's so awesome. And so that's all I'll say for now. And we'll see if anybody else has any more prayer requests before I share more. But I just I thank you, Lord, for strengthening David, Lord. It's one of the things that Merlin's talking about in this book, that about strength. We think we have the strength. We do things without the Lord. And thank you, Lord, for being David's strength and getting him through the day, even though he doesn't feel well, Lord. And just reminding too, Lord, thank you and praise you in the midst of it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, that's a good book. That's a good book. All of them are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, something we talked a little bit about maintenance last week in our healing and deliverance and our walk. What if we just got up every day on the same time, not the same time, but every day and on the same level, without getting all anxious because something comes on us? We're already starting this maintenance system. Listen, devil, I want you to just know something. While you're healthy or whether you're in sickness, listen, the word says, by his stripes, I'm healed. So I'm healed. And I'm going to live out my life, all the days of my life, and I'll live to a ripe old age, and I'll decide when I die, not you. So it's time for you to pack your bag and get out of here and just do it every day. And guess what? Whatever's ailing you will leave, because the devil's getting tired of getting beat with the word of God. And he'll finally just leave. And you'll be, and it'll keep it going, because then he's going to try to sneak back on you. He said, no. You don't understand. The truth is still the truth. You got to go. See ya. By his stripes, I am healed. And that's just a little more of some of the same stuff. Actually, live life abundantly through Christ. Amen. The stuff that Missy was talking about. Have this positive attitude with Christ in your mouth every day. And then when the devil comes around and sneaks up and tries to smack you in the back of the head, yeah, there you go, Missy. You've already got your battle gear on, and you say, oh no, devil, you gotta go, boy. So just a little something there. All right, anybody else? And don't get me wrong, I'm just finding this stuff out. And I've started doing that myself. And I'm tired of the devil whooping on me. I'm just tired of it. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of it. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I don't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore. It don't make any difference what I feel like. It don't make any difference what I look like. I know what the truth is. And the truth is that by his stripes, I'm healed. Amen, dear. He's trying to wear down the saints, but he's a loser, she says. That's awesome. Absolutely, he's a loser. And not only that, he's a liar and a thief. All right, Rihanna, Claire, I saw your hands up a while ago.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Claire.
I just wanted to have, I've got a little tiny praise report, but nothing's too small to brag on God with. I've been working with my little boy all year to try and get him. There's just certain things that he says that are incorrectly pronounced. And just because of what I used to do for a living before giving my life to the Lord and where my aptitude lies that the Lord has given me, that really grates me. And so I knew that I couldn't get into my flesh about this thing. So I just left it and I just prayed. And when I came to that portion of work that we had to do each day, he'd continue saying it wrong. And I just continue saying, I prayed for you, boy. And today he didn't know we were going to do that little thing. And he just said, I said, what is Jesus? And he said, the king of the world, or the king, you know. And it was, it's that ing sound. And he just said it perfectly. And then I gave him all these little words to read with the ing sound, and he just bashed them out. And we were just praising God. And so he can now do the ing sound and the ong sound and all those sounds. And I'm just so grateful, because I could have got into my flesh, but I didn't. I just left it for the Lord, and my little boy is speaking nicely. So I'm so blessed by that today. And I just wanted to share.
Thank you, Lord. You go, Daniel. Or Rion. I don't know which one it is, but praise God.
Yeah, I'm still working on the sound.
Okay.
You can say king and then, but you can say the as well. So
Oh boy. All right, anyone else? All right. Yes, Pat.
So the Lord has been working with me on and hasn't developed the point with me right now. So I'm kind of speaking midstream before I know what I'm talking about. But he's been showing me of the importance of the body here specifically, but the body of Christ. And I've been looking at all the verses in Corinthians about the body and the various different parts, and then in Ephesians about the prophets and apostles and all of those aspects of the body that were meant to come together and build itself up in love, and until we all, and I'm obviously pulling things and thoughts from various different scriptures, but until we all attain unto the stature or the fullness of Christ. And so because of that, and the Lord has, I guess, encouraged me or motivated me to express myself at various times, and the thought that I've really been considering here in the last few probably months is that I go with what I have in my heart. If I see a need or the Lord hits me with something, I just express it and get it out there. And sometimes I think the thing that hit me in the last few weeks was he uses that process within us as we express ourselves to either help someone else in the body who may be needing that word, but much, much more beneficial than that, even though that is that it is God's way of allowing the body to see what's in me. Because what ultimately comes out of the mouth is a reflection of what's in the heart. And so I may in fact be thinking I'm helping somebody, but I can also be guaranteed that the body out there, someone in the body is seeing something within me that I don't see, but that God may want to correct or may want to remove, may want to do something, may want to change. So it's kind of exciting in that, because I've been looking to the Lord for, I guess, personal revival. And I don't know if I can say that I have kind of plateaued or kind of stalled or what, I don't know. But I know that I seem to go through times of feeling dry, feeling like the Lord is distant, feeling like the word isn't as, I'm not as excited as I used to be about the word. And so I think it's, you know, you might say I've hit a wall or I've stopped or I've plateaued or whatever it is. Not sure exactly what it is, but I know that the answer is in my is in the Lord, is in the body, is in my open and honesty as much as I can, as much as I'm aware of, to be open and honest with the body. And to trust that God is working through the process. And I know he is. So, and I wouldn't be saying these things if I didn't realize that I was, God is putting the pieces together and leading me in a particular direction. But I say that to on one of the last calls, there was a prayer request by someone in the group and was praying for, you know, wanted God to provide her a clear conscience. And I realized that the Lord did something very, very miraculous in my life back when I was in the Baptist church, in the midst of the Baptist church, and I was seeking for the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, just to be full of the Spirit of the Lord and walk with Him. And I was feeling a bit isolated, I guess you might say, in the context of that particular denomination. And so I started seeking the Lord on my own. Didn't really have anybody that was of like mind that I could, talk to or whatever. But the Lord led me through a process. And that process was based upon, and it was seeking forgiveness. It was a process of seeking forgiveness. And he led me to a scripture, which was, he actually brought it back to me again a few days ago. It's in Matthew 5:23. And he says, "If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way, while thou art with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Truly I say unto thee that thou shalt by no means come out of there until you've paid the last farthing. And so I started to think about forgiveness. I've always, obviously, at that time, I was always thinking of forgiveness as something that I've done and I need to confess to the Lord and gain his forgiveness, you know, or receive his forgiveness, which if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, but I had never thought at the time until then that about looking out there, wherever God would lead my heart, to see or recognize or remember an individual that was offended by me. And so, and to go back and reconcile it with that person. And so I went through a process at that time. I said, okay, well, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll look into this. And I started to sit down and I wrote down, you know, names of people that he threw in my mind and all the, and then I tried to remember, you know, how they were offended and all that sort of thing. And then the moment of truth, I had to go back to those individuals, either call them up or if they were around, go talk with them or whatever, and ask them to talk with them. And then I would bring up that thing that the Lord gave me. You know, remember when I said this to you or I offended you in that way, and I had to apologize and ask them to forgive me. And I have to say that that was the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. It was so humbling and embarrassing. I guess you might say embarrassing. It was definitely, it was not fun. It was absolutely the most difficult thing I've ever had to do. But I realized that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And I thought it was a clearing of my conscience type of thing. So I did that. I set in motion that process, and I had a page of people and, you know, probably, I don't know, 10, 15 people or whatever that I had to go back. And some of them were years and years ago, you know. And then, but anyway, to make a long story short, again, I hate to say that, but I, every time I went to some person to confess my sin, ask them to forgive me, I always thought they were going to laugh in my face and they were going to, you know, ridicule me or do something or whatever, something like that, reject me, whatever it was. I never had one person, not one person actually did that. I actually, through that process, they received what I was saying and appreciated me for coming back to them and speaking to them about it or whatever. There was many, many positive things that happened through that. The most beneficial thing that happened, though, that I couldn't see was that God was releasing me and providing me a, I'm going to say, a more sensitive, released spirit to walk with him. And I, and as a result, every time I went, it was like I felt lighter after every experience, lighter. And just, I felt free. And I was so free and released that I was literally went through a period of time of just talking to the Lord, and the Lord would immediately respond in some sort of an answer, or influencing my heart to do something, or showing me something, or leading me through his word in something. And again, I have to put this whole process into context. I was in the midst of a denomination that did not believe in the Holy Spirit, did not believe that you could talk to God that way, that you talk to God by reading his word and having positive thoughts toward God or whatever. But for the first time, I was experiencing that communication in a very real way. And I realized that it was connected with me and with my spirit being released to receive that fullness. So I say that now because I believe, I think God is leading me into another dose of that. And all I can say is praise the Lord, because I don't know where that's going to go right now. All I know is I'm saying this to request prayer that God would open up my eyes, lead me in the directions and the steps that he wants me to take, and fill me with his Holy Spirit. So that's my prayer request, long and extended.
Okay. Lord, what he said. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Pat, filling him, Lord, with your wisdom, discernment, and your Holy Spirit that would guide him throughout this walk that you've got him on. And I praise you for doing that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting a hunger to get in the Word and to renew his mind with the Word of God, that every day he would open up the Word and the things that you want him to look at, Lord, that it would just jump out to him by the Spirit and he'd know. And Lord, I thank you for doing that for him. In fact, I pray that for all of us in the name of Jesus. Father, that your Spirit would guide us when we open up the Word, that an excitement would rise up in us, that the fire of God would rise up in us, Lord. Because we know that we're fixing to listen to you through the Word, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of my brothers and sisters and myself, in Jesus' name, because I know when I get in the Word that it does rise up in me, and it rises up in other people as well. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. It's done. Yes, Julie.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for sharing that, Pat. I was just thinking about different times where the Lord has done that with me too in my life. And there were times where it would be like people I worked with, you know, people over me, superior to me, where I know I said something that they were offended, you know, and I knew it was wrong for me to say what I did. And Lord would just say, you need to go apologize. I don't want to. Mom, you have to go do it. And it is a humbling thing to go and say, I'm sorry, I should not have said that to you. you know, but I was always received, and it is a witness of Christ in you that you would, you know, just, hey, I was wrong and I shouldn't have said that, or I should have, you know, or whatever. And yeah, so yeah, that's good. And Father, I just pray, if there is anybody else, you know, if this is something that you're putting in Pat's heart, that there's still others that maybe he needs to make things right with, and just and let people know that he, you know, he knows he was wrong about something, that you would do a quick work there, Lord. And if this is the enemy trying to get him in any kind of guilt or condemnation for something that, you know, he, you know, then I pray that you give him discernment about that too, Father. I just pray blessings on Pat, Lord, that he would be able to hear clearly from you, and he just knows. And we praise you, Father, and we thank you for doing that in all of us, Lord, to make things right with people. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord of God. Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to pray this for Pat and everybody. I think I shared it the other day a little bit. But just in Colossians 1:9, I believe it is. Lord, I've just asked you to fill Pat and everyone with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding to walk worthily of you, Lord, unto all pleasing and bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, that apologizing to somebody, you know, that's a humbling experience, Pat. And I tell you something that I had to do here a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, something that I did between 40 and 50 years ago. He brought that to my remembrance and made me call this guy. And I did, and I didn't want to. I can tell you that I didn't want to, but I did. And this guy's, he grew up with me, you know, in school and stuff. But anyway, I apologize to him. Boy, and I was glad it was over too. But like you said, there was something that lifted off of me. Praise God for that, you know. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Claire.
I just want to share that I understand what Pat's doing, and the Lord's helped me do that a few times. And unfortunately, not everyone was as gracious with me as what they were with Pat. And I know that there are some brothers and sisters who, myself included, who cannot, or the apology, the offense has been taken, and the, you know, you like, it's not, can't fix it right now. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that there's still that gap, right? Like, I think the Lord sees the beginning or the end from the beginning. And if our hearts are there to do the right things and to be humbled, but it's not accepted or received, that can very quickly turn into a self-condemnation spiral of doubt and questioning, which is exactly what the enemy wants. But if we've done what the Lord has asked us to do and it's not received, like, we can't have we can't put somebody else's responses on us, right? Like, we just have to believe that the Lord is either going to keep on opening a door, or he's going to keep on working with that heart to accept it, or and just pray that our hearts remain soft and willing, you know, for the reconciliation, not necessarily reconciliation, but for that forgiveness to be received. I'm actually more checking that that's the right thing, because in my own life, I've been told expressly by someone like to never, ever contact them again. And I apologized before and after that fact. But at some point I was like, well, if I really love this person, then I have to respect their wishes to never, ever contact them again. And that is me showing them love, even though my flesh might have want another reaction. But in that respecting their wishes, that allows that space for God to work. And I trust that that person's going to receive the forgiveness, the apology, but not only the apology, receive Christ as well when the time is right. I don't know.
Amen. Thank you, Claire. All right, anybody else? Yes, Pat.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I've had later on, actually it was after I joined UBM, that I, like Michael, I realized something came up, the Lord led me, and I went to an individual that gave me this exact same line, don't ever bring that up again or whatever. But, and at the time I was obeying the Lord, I knew that that's what he wanted me to do. So I can only suspect that that experience in that person being able to reject my request for reconciliation or forgiveness or whatever, that the Lord was using that in their life as well. So that's kind of the way I saw it at the time, but I appreciate that that input. That's good.
Amen. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Okay. Well, I guess I've been a little bit motivated. You know, Michael, I've had some operators become maintenance supervisors, and I've given them a good rebuking. So I probably need to be giving them a call. You ever had that happen before? If you have, what I'm talking about.
Never. Of course.
That one can push buttons.
Yeah.
So, appreciate it, Pat. It was enlightening. I actually checked my phone. I said, I wonder if I got this guy's number in there. I said, if I do, then I know what to do. Well, it's in there. Anyways, I want to ask a question off subject. Let me know what you guys think. Sometimes when I get like a dream and I send it in, like I may see somebody may be in that dream that I know, whether in the body or whatnot, and I don't mention them because I don't name them because I don't want to I just feel like, I don't want to put somebody one out there too, on anybody, and never anything bad. I really mean it. If it's something good, hey man, I'll bless them and I'll send their name in, bless them. But if it's something I'm not sure about, is that wrong? Should I not do that?
Well, Isaac, if you're sending it in to Dave or Eve or myself, that's only where it goes. We do have discernment as far as putting stuff out there. We don't put stuff out there. We might use the dream itself, but we won't put people's names in it, you know. It might help if you'll know whether it's a warning dream or not, won't you?
Yeah, it is. And I'm trying to be, think about this. You know, it's like, put it this way, it's like that dream I just had about Satan once sifted the brethren. And I said brethren because I've seen brethren's names, but I just felt like, hey, I'll pray with my whole heart for them. And it could just mean something else, like maybe the representation of something else. I'm not sure. But like, I just prayed for them. And that right after I had that dream, I had all you guys pray for all of us. And I felt like that encompassed it. Am I wrong? Am I not using wisdom there?
Well, like I said before, if it's a warning dream, most of the time we'll give the dream to the person that is involved, because, you know, the Lord gives us dreams to warn us to go ahead and repent or whatever it is, you know, to get it right. And they appreciate that. But we do not put the person's name on it who had the dream. But we do utilize it as a tool for them to correct whatever they're doing, you know.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. In this regard, I don't feel like it was a warning dream for anybody. I really mean that. I don't think that was that. I don't think that at all.
Yeah.
I was wondering, because I didn't know if I was being condemned or convicted today about it. So I just wanted to ask. And I appreciate the clarification, because it does clarify for me. And I think for now on, I'll be a little more specific.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody else? I will say this. Most of the dreams that we get are for the body to utilize to pray, you know, to pray for whatever it is, you know. And we do here locally do that, you know, pray the things. And we've seen great results because of these dreams. So just lay that out there. We'll get a lot of dreams in. And if you don't get an answer to your dream right away, don't get anxious, because it'll come. They just get backlogged sometimes. All right, anybody else? Amen. Okay, what do y'all want to talk about? Anybody got a plan for tonight? Or a question besides Missy? Go ahead, Missy.
I wanted to give a praise report about my mom. We all prayed for her on Tuesday because she had to go in the hospital. The doctor actually had an ambulance from the doctor's office take her into the hospital because she was short of breath, and she had been having diarrhea for 3 weeks. And before, she had told me that she thought it was this medicine, because a doctor that was seeing my dad, she asked the doctor, you know, what do you think this could be? And the doctor asked if she could take an antibiotic, and she went and looked on all the symptoms and side effects, and was pretty sure that was that, but she was still having problems with diarrhea and everything. I guess she went to the doctor for that, and I believe my sister told me that while she was there, her breathing got worse or whatever, and so the doctor had her hauled off to the hospital. And so when my sister called, I just went to fight, and I was like, you will not put my mom on a ventilator. You will not give her remdesivir, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and I was praising and thanking the Lord for this, you know, because, you know, the Lord's going to turn it around for his glory. So, what happened was, is she went in, they ran tests on her, did a CAT scan on her. They did some heart tests or whatever, I don't know. And and they did a COVID test on her, and they told her she had COVID. And I'm like thinking, I don't believe that, you know? And so anyway, one thing too was, is I called my dad up after the outreach, and I talked to him and prayed with him, and I encouraged him, and I told him, I said, you just imagine mom coming through that door, and he's giving each other a big hug, and Jesus right there, you know, hugging us both, you know. I said, you just keep imagining that. You pray for her, and you believe your prayer, and your prayers for her. And I said, anything that you pray, you imagine it coming to pass, you know. You imagine what you're praying, you know. I said, that's faith. So she got home at 4:30 in the morning, and my mom told me that he heard her come in, and so she had to laugh when I told her that, you know, because he was there to greet her. And anyway, so when I was talking to her too, she said that, she said she, you know, I said, I don't think you really have COVID. She says, you know, I really don't either. She says, because every one of these symptoms that I'm having is related to this medicine. And I told her, I proceeded to tell her about the PCR test, you know, how it's unreliable, and the guy that invented it or whatever said it was never meant to for that, and explained that he died not too long after he was taking a strong stand against that in I think the latter part of 2019, you know, within 6 months of the whole COVID thing, and he suddenly died. And you know, and I mentioned to her about, you know, what I about the remdesivir and the ventilator and stuff like that. And I said, that's the wrong protocol. I said, that's wrong. It's hurting people. It's killing people. And she said something about Fauci. She says, I know about Fauci or whatever. So she's really getting woken up and about things and understanding things more. And it was just really good. She really doesn't think that she has COVID. And I prayed for her again and commanded all those symptoms to go. And you know, her lungs to be full of breath. And she found out the other day that they tested her, did some kind of test on her back in June or July or whatever. And they told her she has AFib, and that's what my dad has, and they put a pacemaker in him. So so we just command that her heart to beat properly, and we rebuke that, and she does not have AFib. And you know, I just I broke every curse spoken over her and everything. And so anyway, I just thank you and I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'd also want to share something too, that I had a really good time with the Lord today. I was glad Merle was gone, because I was pacing around the room here praying in the spirit and just doing warfare and everything. And the Lord really impressed something on me that I want to share with y'all. David shared this, but even before he shared it, he had really impressed it on me. You know, I'm like, Lord, when are you going to bring the man child, anoint the man child? And he kept bringing me back, you know, when I would get impatient, like, oh, Lord, you know. take me back to Hosea 5, the end of Hosea 5, like chapter, I mean, Hosea 5 verses 8 the whole way through to Hosea 6, 3. And it's, you know, the Lord says, you know, says the Lord wounded them and that he's going away until they acknowledge their offense and so on and so forth. And then, you know, the Lord says, you know, until my people cry out to me and acknowledge their offense, you know, and it's, you know, this, their offense in taking this jab and this fence, their offense in relying on a man looking for Trump to come. And, you know, it's like, I'm looking at all these things that are going on and I'm like, Lord, and it's like the Lord's just really instilled in me, Missy, I am using all these things to bring my people to repentance and to cry out to me. And then that's when I'm going to come, you know? So I was just really encouraged by that. And I believe the Lord really impressed upon me that people are praying, even ones that even though we don't see it, even though we don't see it and we don't know that it's, we don't physically see it happening. We don't hear people saying things or whatever, that they're crying out to the Lord and like, okay, you know, Trump's not going to come in and save the day, I believe this mandate thing is collapsing and things that we're seeing going on is because we've been praying, but not just us, but you know, other people, they are repenting, they're turning and realizing that, you know, it's God that's going to, you know, they need to rely on and trust and pray to him and ask him to change things and all. And so I really believe it's happening, even though we're not aware of it. Let's put it that way. Not aware of it physically, but the Lord really impressed me that that's happening. People are really crying out to him. And so we just need to keep praying for people's eyes to be opened up and recognize, you know, that they've been trusting in everything and everybody and everything, you know, other than the Lord, you know? So anyway, I just wanted to share that. We thank you, Lord. Please come.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else got some thoughts or comments they'd like to add to the program tonight? I wrote a few things down the other day while I was reading some of Lake's stuff. And if y'all don't mind, I'd like to put it out there for y'all. One of the things he said is real Christianity is marked by the pureness, by the holiness of the thoughts of man. And if Christianity, the kind you have, does not produce in your mind real holiness, real purity, real sweetness, real truth, then it's a poor bread. Change it right away. Beloved, there is relief from such. There is a way of salvation. It is in the submission of that mind to the Lord Jesus, to be remolded by the Holy Spirit so that the mind becomes the pure channel of a holy nature. We who profess to know the living God, who professes to live in union with him, ought to present to the world that attitude of mind, that pureness of mind, that holiness of mind, which needs no recommendation. The people know it, they feel it, they smell it, and they know that it's the mind of Christ. Possessing the mind of Christ and all the mind of Christ. You know how we do that? By learning who Christ is and then doing it. That was something that Lester Sumrall said years ago. You know, to do the will of God, read the Word of God. If you want to know what the will of God is, read the Word of God for your life. And I believe it. I'm believing it more every day as I get in or study. Putting more Christ in is what he wants. And we're coming into a time that we're going to need it. We've talked about this before, you know. The holiness and the endurance in our faith is going to determine how much of Christ we got in us. So renewing our mind is putting our mind to think the same way that Jesus thinks. Well, I don't believe that's possible. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. Be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Is a command. When we think like Christ, act like Christ, do the things of Christ, then we have arrived. But if you're not, like me, I've still got more renewing my mind today, and I'm doing it. With God's grace and his mercy. You know, we say that, well, God's not putting that in me. We have a job to do. And the job for us to do is to pick up the word and get in it. We have to do that ourselves. God's not going to pick it up, cram it in you. Although he can. But he wants you to do that. He wants us. He wants us. You can pray that God give you the unction and the wherewithal to do that, and he'll help you. But our job is to, I'm looking for a word here, is to want to discipline, that's the word I'm looking for, excuse me, discipline ourselves to do that every day. Start out the day with the Lord, if you can, you know, and you can. Or end the day, all of them. Anyway, that's kind of what I want to throw out there today. Anybody disagree? Raise your hand. Isaac? Are you? All right. All right, anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about? I'll tell you what let's do. Somebody tell me, how do we renew our mind? Let's say you want to renew your mind on, just give me a topic. Renew your mind on what? Let's pick healing. Everybody knows about healing. Friendship, okay. How do I renew my mind in the Word of God about friendship? Well, the way I would do it is to get me a topical Bible, go in there and look up friendship, find all the scriptures that talks about friendship, assimilate them into a way that you could converse with those verses in a way that you would understand it. And learn about it until you have it in your spirit. And then you'd be walking in friendship. That's just the way I would do it. Anybody else got a better suggestion? You know, I'd love to hear it. Okay, Julie.
I don't know if it's better, but whatever it is that you have questions, I mean, sometimes you don't even realize you have questions until you start reading the Bible and then you realize you don't understand things, or God shows you something that you didn't know about. Anyhow, it's to me, it's just like asking for God to show you things, teach you, give you understanding. There were times in my youth where it's like I had trouble just reading and understanding the Bible, so I didn't do it. So I don't understand it. I don't understand it. So, and I actually got saved. Then that was one of the things I asked the Lord. It's like, you wrote this and you created my mind. You know how I think, and you know it's hard for me to understand this. I mean, it's written the way it's written, right? And so I just asked him, it's like, you have to show me, you have to give me understanding. And then when I was reading in Proverbs where it says to cry out for wisdom and understanding and discernment, and so I started doing that. I mean, I know now the Lord put that in me to ask for that. And when you come across something you didn't understand, it's like, well, he showed me, you know, he gave me understanding. He gave me grace. He gave me knowledge. He gave me wisdom, and he gave me understanding to know things that I didn't before. And, you know, I still don't understand so much stuff, but Lord, it's like, keep giving me understanding. I want to understand this. I want to know him. And he wrote it, you know, he wrote the word to us. So, and I believe also it's renewing your mind is repenting. It's changing your mind, right? Changing your mind. God, you said this. I don't fully understand it, but I believe it because you wrote it, and give me understanding and help me to understand it so that I can do it. But in the meantime, you still believe it and you obey it to the best you can. And God looks at the heart. Thank you, Lord. We're not works anymore. We're not under law. So that's what it means to me about being renewed in your mind. It's just the scripture in Joshua 1 where it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. That's what he wants, is to meditate on his word. And that renews your mind so that you have the mind of Christ. You don't think like you used to. You don't reason like you used to. You start thinking like, you know, the Bible tells you to think. Amen. Amen. That's all I got.
Amen. Amen.
I've got something. You know, this has been real powerful for me because God gets me up every morning, you know, through the process I'm in and that I'm coming through is, you know, because I came to the Lord at 22, I'm 57. And I can quote a lot of scriptures, but see, now in the renewing of the mind, see what I wasn't doing is, see, my life with Christ is about faith. It's a walk of faith. So if it says, let this mind be in you that is in Christ, see, I can quote that, but the bottom line is, do I believe it? Now, the exercises I've been doing is not only getting the word inside me and knowing that, you know what, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ, that he will lead and guide me and teach me in all truth. That means in me, I have the one that has all knowledge. Now, I know that in my mind, but I declare that now. I declare it every day. Thank you, Father, that in me, I have all knowledge through your Holy Spirit. that you are leading and guiding me into all truth. Because just knowing the word, and then the other thing I'm learning too that's real powerful is doing the word. He was a hearer, not a doer. That's dead faith. See, it all comes down to faith. Not just having a great mind of remembering the scriptures. And the faith is going to be met with trials, see? Because David goes over it all the time. See, with the sower of the seed, see, 3 out of 4, one person, and it was always because, and we got to remember one thing, once we get this word in us, the thing that I am really disciplining myself on through the power of the Spirit, because see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, no matter what my thoughts are, what I feel, and all that. So this is something I've got to do regardless of anything. Now, what I'm really working on too is the diversions, because see, we get caught up, it says, in the cares of this life. You know, the enemy comes in right away, as David points out real strongly, right away, with the cares of this life, with, my mind, seeing that I start doubting things instead of saying, wait a minute. Now I've got to cast down that stronghold, because there's been so many strongholds in my mind, see, that blocked me. A stronghold is what blocks anything from coming in. So I've got a command now, see, through faith. I go, them thoughts are have no place in me. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare the blood of Jesus over my mind, and I have the mind of Christ. You have no place in me. I've been bought with the price. That price is the blood of Jesus. I command you to leave now. And then I declare the word again. And then I keep doing it, see, because now I have to walk in his light. And then walk it out. So it's a continual exercise. You know, I just thank God for the last 10 years I was able to save some money. And right now, I'm over here in Dallas. I was just out there with some brothers and sisters. And Michael's such a blessing to me, because I was coming out of tremendous torment because, you know, I was not exercising my faith because I was so diverted. I wasn't in the word. And this has only been since I've met Michael a month.
Probably.
About a month. And believe me, I'm not going to go into it, but I mean, I was in tremendous torment. And I came to the Lord at 22, I'm 57. But I'm receiving revelation right now that is revolutionizing my life, because if Christ said me and the Father are one, I and him and me. And now we come to Christ and we have a great inheritance, but you don't receive an inheritance until somebody dies and Christ died for us on the cross. I can go, I'm in you, Lord, and you're in me, and you're in the Father and he's in you, and I'm in you, and we're all one. But through the tremendous terror and fear that was dominating my life, was I turning to the Lord, or what was I doing? What was I reaching out for? What was I looking for to try to pacify the emotions in everything in the torment that I was feeling. Because I was always through the process trying to reach out here, you know, out here in the physical. You know, I don't care if it was a beer. I mean, I really didn't drink much, but I mean, you know, I would do, no matter what was going out here, I don't care whether in our lives it's gambling, it's food, it's people, it's places, it's things, it's anything. I had so many idols that I didn't even realize that were blocking me. And I have to be willing, if I want Christ, he said it. He said, William, you better count the cost, because there's a cost here. It's not just easy believism. You have to count the cost and be willing to let go of every single thing that is blocking you, and you have the power. I gave it to you. It's in Christ. Do you believe it? If I believe it, then I'm going to walk like I do. That's the faith of work. Then things begin to manifest. And it's not overnight. I mean, the enemy is relentless. See, the more I exercise these things, man, it's like, there's a prayer in the Word that Paul used. He said, and I read it for years, man. I mean, years. And it says, I pray until Christ be formed in you. Wow. Till Christ be formed in me. That means I should be walking like Christ, talking like Christ, acting like Christ. All of it. But I could never do that. I didn't understand. Because I would always alter. I didn't know the process. But I'll tell you what, Michael, I just want to thank you, brother, because of.
Amen, brother.
You introduced me to a man that I'm going through some manuals right now. And it is I went there last night. It is revolutionizing my life. And not just knowing about Christ, but knowing him. Like Paul said, knowing him and the power of his resurrection. That all I want to know is Christ. That means I may have to give, I stay in my car right now. I get to eat every day. I have money. I have money for fuel. As a matter of fact, I'm, you know, I found out my dad wasn't my dad at 48 years old. And I'm going to meet, I had six other brothers and sisters. I found out when I was 48 years old, I'm going to see them in Kansas on the 22nd. So I'm going to minister to them. I mean, you know what? I'm blessed, and I just pray for you brothers and sisters. Keep me in prayer. Because you know what? We got to count the cost. And there might be a lot of things I got to give up in order to gain Christ. But Paul said, I got to count all things lost to gain Christ. Now I need the faith to endure. Thank you, brothers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I'm glad that you got in over there, Will. They'll help you a lot.
Well, I don't know. It ain't done yet, brother. The process is a daily thing right now. I don't, you know, wherever the Lord's going to show me where he wants me, where I'm going to fellowship, because right now my heart's desire is the body of Christ, because we need each other in the nourishment and the admonition of the Lord. We need that for the body. That, man, my heart is so on fire to be around a body of believers. Where do you want me, Father? Because I'm going to light it up. You know why? Because I have the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. I wish you'd get some more fire there, brother. Glory to God. That's awesome. Thank you, William. All right. All right, Nick, go ahead, brother. Let's hear about your fire.
I was just thinking of, like, if we want to renew our mind, I was just thinking of handing out a Bible to somebody and telling them to read it, and that would renew their mind. Like, give it to a friend or somebody like that, and that would renew their mind to Christ.
And if they don't know the Lord, just tell them to start out in James.
That's a
good book. It teaches them how to live. Most of the time we show them John, but James is actually the book we need. It's a short book, but it has a lot in it about how to walk like Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. Yeah, absolutely. Give them a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell them, so this is the words of life, brother. All right. Anybody else? Oh, Missy. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to comment on or talk about? Ask a question. I'm sure we got an answer from somebody. You know, I prayed for a lady today that I'd like to pray for with y'all to get y'all's faith involved in it too. She's dealing with, she's been off of methamphetamines for a week now. And that urge is still there. And I was asking one of the guys here that had some involvement with that years ago. And he told me this. He said that methamphetamines affects your mind, but that cocaine affects your body. But the mind, it's all in your mind with the meth, and which tells me that's a demon, and which was good information. So I'd like to pray for her, and that the Lord would cleanse her mind of this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift this lady up, and I know you know who I'm talking about. Her name is Pat. I lift Pat up to you, Lord, and I thank you, Father, that you've already done it, but I'm asking for the people's faith to be hooked with mine, which just puts all the angels out there for Pat to help her. And Father, I thank you for that, and I thank you, Lord, that right now, that her mind is being cleansed, even as we speak of this addiction that she causes, an addiction to meth, and to take out the want to ever mess with that stuff again. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that your spirit right now is cleansing her brain of that demon in Jesus' name. I command you, demon, leave her now by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go. The word says that when we have authority over all the power of the enemy, you're an enemy to her, so you go right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that she has completely been cleansed of this. And all other addictions that she has, cigarettes, go in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that Pat is free. And he who is free indeed. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I believe, let's see here. Somebody got something they'd like to talk about? We've got 12 minutes. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
When you were mentioned that about the meth, that it is something of the mind, I was thinking of that. I was actually reading about the word. And so Psalm 18:28 says, For thou wilt light my candle. You know what? That's King James. Let's see there. For thou wilt light my lamp. The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. I was trying to think. When you were talking before, when we're talking about transforming the mind, and I was thinking, I might have to think about this for a while or ask the Lord to lead me through some word, but I was thinking about that we have received the Holy Spirit within us, and the word that we read, that we take into our eyes and read, we're sending, it needs to come through and harmonize with the Spirit of God within us. And the mind, our mind, if it is functioning from a worldly or earthly perspective, which is where we all start, obviously, is like blocking that light. And when that light gets through to the spirit, and the harmonizes with our spirit, and gives us then strength to understand. And there's got to be a dissipation of the power of the mind in that process. Obviously, I'd like to link that up with the word somehow, but I kind of, there's got to be something there in that process, transforming of our mind with the harmonization of that word, connecting in our spirit and walking it out. It's got to be part of that process of transforming the mind or providing the understanding. So I was trying to think of scriptures related to that, and I'm still stumbling around. Does that sound like that's off the wall or what?
No. There's only one verse in the whole Bible that tells us that tells you that you have to have your life, that your mind has to be renewed, and that's first Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's the way that you have your life is transformed, of course, renewing your mind with the word of God. That's the only way you can transform it. And we just have to get in the word. That's what we've been saying all along, you know. The only way that you can prove the will of God, of course, is to renew your mind, is by a renewed mind. Let me say this, if you're not renewing your mind, you're not bearing fruit. And that 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold fruit is what gets you into the kingdom, if you're doing 29 and a half fold fruits, you ain't getting in. But if you're doing the rest of them, you're in. So why not just go, let's go for the whole ball of wax, the 100 fold. I want to be the 100 fold. Don't y'all want to be the 100 fold? Well, it takes dedication, discipline, and hard work to do it. Sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed his life. And that's what he wants us to do, not in the way he did it, but to sacrifice our life for the word of God. And when we do that, I'm telling you right now, we are going to experience things that you never thought possible. Translation, the Lord has told us, is going to be the major form of transportation for the bride and the man child. And you don't have to go through passport people, what do they call that? TSA? Yeah, TSA. No, you ain't got to do all of that. Be like David when he went to that East European church, translated over there one night. He didn't have to have a passport. He just showed up and the people started clapping and praising God and glory to God. He didn't understand a word they said. But he preached the word of God. He still didn't understand it. He was preaching it in their tongue. And he did it for 2 hours. 2 hours. I said, what did you say, David? I said, I don't know. Y'all know what I don't know means, don't you? That's Southern for I don't know.
Wouldn't it be interesting, Michael, if some of those people could reach out and talk to David?
Did they? No.
Could they?
He does never he even met.
He didn't know what country?
No.
No.
He didn't know what. All he knew it was a Gothic looking church. It was these were Eastern European looking people. And he knew that much. Everything else he didn't know. He didn't even know what he preached, for goodness sake. All he knew is he'd been there, he gave him the word, and the Lord immediately, after he got through, took him back. He didn't go down and shake hands or anything like that, you know. I can imagine this, Pat. I can imagine this. I can imagine one day somebody walking in the house, coming up to the house, and said, you don't know me. He'll be saying it in a Eastern European brogue. If you don't know, well, you know, I don't know how to talk like they do. I can only talk Arkansas. But anyway, they'll come up and they'll say, my name is whatever it is, and you came to our church. And I know what David's first question is going to be. Well, what did I preach? And I'm going to be there with him when he does.
Amen.
Because I know it's going to change. It changed that whole church, man. They were, listen, he told me they started clapping when he got there. They were praising God and, you know, glory to God and all that. And because I picked his brain. He didn't know any more than what I told you. My mind wanders, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking that, what are these people thinking about? They must have been praying about David coming over there. You know?
Michael, did David detect that he was in his body, or was he in the spirit, or what? In other words, if you would have called his wife, would she looked over there and saw David's body laying in bed? Do you know? Was this a risen?
Here's what I can tell you. He showed up at the church. They saw him. They didn't see a ghost. They saw him. because they started clapping and praising God and glory to God and all that. They saw him in his body. You know, the angels can do that. You know, the angels can show themselves. Now, to understand whether he was in the spirit or in the body, it's just like Paul. Remember what Paul said. Now, I personally believe that the Lord just took his spirit over there and gave him a body. He preached the word of God, and he said, I instantly came back and I was in my body in my bed. He didn't have his, he went over and preached the word in his PJs. I don't know, you know.
I remember when he said that, though, he said that the next day he was exhausted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he preached, he'd been traveling all night, preaching all night, then bless God, he gets home, you know. Ain't got but an hour of sleep.
Holy jet lag, huh?
Yeah. But anyway, it's, that's the type of experiences we're going to experience here in these days coming up again. You know, it was. That was a good question, but I'm sorry I couldn't answer it any better than what I did. When I get my translation ticket punch, Pat, I'll let you know everything I know about it.
Can I go along too?
Well, just like Elijah told Elisha, don't let me out of your sight. Because I've already had some dreams about going to South Africa. So I don't know. We'll see. I hope so. I do. I hope so. Because where you at, Joe? Where Joe at? He already gone back. He gone back to sleep. And
now his power went off on his computer. They must have been on their power shutting down there. So his laptop power went out.
Okay. The dream was not about going to Joe's. It was actually going to go see Dirk Paula, but I'm just believing the Lord's going to go over and let me get Joe too, Joe and Nora too. Anyway, that's me now. That's not the Lord. That's Michael. So anyway, Lord, we just thank you for another good night tonight. We praise you, Father, that all the prayers have already been answered. And we thank you, Lord, that Michael is healed. And we praise you for that, Father. And all the rest of the prayers have been answered as well. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all a good night's sleep. And Father, if you deem it necessary to send one of us on a good translation, that would be awesome, because we'd hear about it the next time we got together. And that'd be awesome, Lord. Thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed. God.